imagine how good they would do if they would just practice a little bit, right? That was great. That was a chamber orchestra. That was fantastic. I love that. I invite you to take your Bibles with me this morning and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 14. Thank you so much. That was a blessing to my heart. Looking this morning at verses 8 through 20 in our journey through the book of Acts. Once again, if you're able to stand, would you join me in standing as I read from the Word of the Lord? I'll be reading from the King James Version this morning. Acts 14, beginning in verse number 8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your kindness, the joy of music, the joy of the Christmas carols, the joy of being together to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for our musicians this morning and the beautiful job they did to represent you. Pray that now you would open our ears and open our eyes, that we may see, that we may hear, that we may believe the wonder of your word. And thank you for the text that is before us on this first day of December, the year of our Lord 2024. We pray that you'll bless now your word and that your spirit would speak to every heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, following Christ was not boring. You could at least say that much, right? It was never a boring moment, and not without a price. If you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you're setting yourself in for a wonderful adventure of life. And you'll never regret one day of following Christ as your Savior. And Paul and Barnabas could have written one of the verses to Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace has this verse in it: through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Dangers, toils, and snares, that's what I call the message this morning, isn't it? Because boy, were they ever in danger and toil and snare. This is the blueprint for it right here in the text that is before us. They were misunderstood. They were misidentified. Everything twisted and turned. They were beaten. They were even stoned. The old devil will do anything to keep you from hearing about Jesus Christ. One minute he will try to stone you, and if that doesn't work, the next minute he'll try to beat you, and if that doesn't work, the next minute he'll say, "Everybody call them gods, and let's bow and worship to these." He'll do anything to keep you from hearing the message that I'm about to give to you this morning. For this, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the most important thing you will ever hear. I say this without hesitation. I say this without reservation. It is the most important thing, the most important story you will ever hear in your life. And the devil will do everything he can to keep you from hearing it. It's that important. Now, the persecuted would write, and there's been persecuted in over 53 countries today while I'm standing here in this very center of the United States of America. There are over 53 countries where I would be shot at, tongue cut out, imprisoned, jailed, beaten. But martyrs across the centuries have said this: you can crucify, you can torture, you can condemn us, you can grind us to powder, but do your worst. It only attracts the world and makes us love our Savior more. For the more you pull down the banner of Christ, the higher it will fly. And so let's look at this text this morning. Paul and Barnabas going to this community, being misidentified, people not understanding who they are and what they're all about. I want us to see, first, a miracle. The second thing I want us to see are the myths that flew all around them. In the midst of the miracle, the myths started flying right and left. And lastly, I want you to think for a moment with me, beyond the miracle and the myth, I want you to think about the message. Let's start in verses 8, 9, and 10, the miracle. We are told that while they were there sat a certain man. He was at Lystra. He was impotent he couldn't walk. He couldn't stand on his feet. He was a cripple from the moment of birth. He was born this way. He had never stood. It's such a joy to see these children in our midst. I told someone today, we have child care here that's available, but I would love it if you would let these children stay in the service with us. I love to be around children and to watch them that 6 month where they start setting up, and then around that 10th month where they start trying to walk. This man had never walked a day in his life, but he was listening to the Apostle Paul. And there was something about the way that he was listening. You know, you can tell a lot about, as you're watching me, do you know I'm watching you? And you can tell a lot about people by the way they listen to you. I can see someone out there, I think they're making their grocery list. You can see someone out there, I think they're checking their cell phone. They're completely disconnected to what I am saying up here. But sometimes you can see someone nodding their head and watching you. And sometimes you can hear someone say amen to the message. And you know, that person is listening to what it is that I'm saying. Sometimes I can metaphorically see my message going entirely over your heads. I can see it with my own eyes. And boy, that was a swing and a miss right there. That there was something about this man who was listening to Paul. And Paul, his eyes must have been on the Apostle Paul. And he was listening and leaning forward. And he must have been nodding and edging ever closer, perhaps with his hands just scooting himself closer and closer, getting up in the spit zone of the Apostle Paul. There was something about him. And Paul had the confidence to say, like Peter and John, when they went into the temple earlier in the book of Acts, there was a guy setting out who had never walked a day in his life, and Peter fixes his eyes on him and says, the man asked for alms, and Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And the man leaps up and he walks. He dances right in front of their eyes. Same song, second verse right here. This man is listening. He's paying attention. And Paul has the confidence to say to him, I want you to stand up. He says it so that everybody can hear it. He doesn't say, stand up on thy feet. Stand up on thy feet. Apparently the Lord had given Paul the confidence to say these words. For no sooner does he say them, this man who had never stood one day in his life. He missed that 10th month, 11th month, 12th month of staggering around and falling all over of life. He had never stood. He stands upright on his feet. He leaps immediately. All the muscles, you would think everything's atrophied. Nothing's going to work. The ankles don't work. The feet don't work. The muscles don't work. The knees don't, nothing works. Everything mechanically comes into place. He leaps upon his feet, and the whole crowd is shocked at what they see. He literally yells this, and the man leaps, no doubt, full of joy. People say, boy, I wish I could see something. I would give anything to see something like that. And I say, look around. There was a day when I was an unbeliever, a rank unbeliever. And at the age of 14, I'd heard the gospel many times, but it metaphorically went over my head. I was one of those guys. I had a learning curve that wouldn't quit. It went over my head. It never resonated. But at the age of 14, the Holy Spirit began to deal with my heart as I sat over in Mincy Wildlife Refuge over here, over in Kirbyville, listening to Billy Rogers preach, and the Spirit began to deal with me. Now, I didn't have legs that didn't work and ankles that didn't work and feet that didn't work, but I had a heart that was a piece of stone that became flesh in that moment. And God did something wonderful. Amen. You can look around and say, I think, you know, I said this to my daughter Bethany one day this week. Every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. You may look around at someone and say, wasn't that guy once an alcoholic? Look at them now. You may say to someone, wasn't that man or woman once an adulterer? Didn't they step out of their marriage? They're faithful. Would you look at that? Or you may look on the other side of them, wasn't that person once a liar and just prone to lie and just did it for no good reason they lied? Wasn't that person once a liar? Look at them now. Wasn't that person a thief? Every saint has a past. Every sinner has a future. We all come out of the quagmire of sin to salvation. You say, is that as great as a man leaping to his feet whose legs have never worked? It's greater to see someone come to faith in Christ is nothing short of the greatest miracle on God's green earth. That's the greatest miracle. And so they see this miracle. You say, how is it possible that this man did that? How is it possible that the liar became a truth teller? How is it possible that the adulterer became faithful? How is it possible that the thief became someone who was honest? It is all by Christ. Christ does it all. Christ gets all of the glory. Maybe I could summarize it like this. If nothing else I said made sense, a great miracle has taken place in the book of Acts. There was a guy named Saul, public enemy number one to the gospel, who oversaw the murder of people, who arrested Christians, who jailed Christians, who beat Christians, who made sure they drew their last breath and he certified it with his own sick. There was a man named Saul, who now we know as Paul, who is speaking on this day and the miracles of Christ. Not so much physical, although we pray, we believe. But spiritually, hearts are being changed for time and eternity. That's the miracle. I want you to see beyond the miracle, I want you to see the myth beginning in verse 11. They look at this and what did they conclude? When the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, this was their conclusion, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. They labeled Barnabas. They gave him a new ID. Let's call him Jupiter. They labeled Paul. They gave him a new ID. Let's call him Mercury, because he was the chief speaker. The people of Lystra were pagans. The people of Lystra were idolaters. The people of Lystra were lost. The people of Lystra believed in Greek mythology. The people of Lystra worshiped creation rather than the creator. The people of Lystra were a mess spiritually. And when they heard Paul speak, they elevated him to the status of a god. Now that's, that's going from 0 to 60 in like 2.5 seconds. He became quite the hero in their eyes. They labeled Barnabas as Jupiter, the king of the gods. They labeled Paul as Mercury, wearing shoes like the Greek god Mercury, who has shoes with outfit with wings on them, probably because he was the chief speaker. He was the mouthpiece for the group. We'll call him Mercury. And we'll call Barnabas Jupiter. And then we're told that the local priest, the guy who headed the worship center of these pagan gods, the priest of Jupiter, and this is what I'm calling the myth, as though it couldn't get any worse, the priest comes along in 13, which was a part of their city, and led the city. He brings out not the fatted calf, he brings out an ox, and it's wrapped in garland, and it's all prettified up, and he brings it to the gates, and he's going to sacrifice it, making a sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas. Myth. And I think one takeaway from this is you need to be careful how you think about any pastor or any entertainer or any presidential figure or anyone who would get up and speak before you. They are no different than anyone else, but for the grace of God, there they go, doing their job as best they can, with weaknesses, making mistakes, twists and turns. I'll not rise above, breathe, to a sinless nature until I cross the threshold of heaven. And so you must not make too much of anyone who would serve the Lord in this capacity. And so the local priest of Jupiter brings out the ox and the garlands, and he leads. He's moving in this direction of what I would call bizarre worship. Things are, you know, Paul and Barnabas, I can't imagine what's going through their mind when they see this priest come out with this ox, and he's looking at them like, I'm going to offer this ox in honor of you because you are the gods and you have come down here before us. And boy, do they get different treatment from one town to the next. Iconium said, kill them. This town says, worship them. I mean, you talk about the pendulum swinging. It swings this way. Get these guys out of here. And then it swings this other way. Let's just go ahead and bow down at their feet and honor them. This is all of Satan. Satan has tools in his toolkit. He wants to stop the preaching of the gospel. And sometimes he'll say, kill them. Sometimes he'll say, worship them. You say, well, this is better than that. This is no better than that. Kill them, murder, worship them, blasphemy. And Paul and Barnabas must have been shocked out of their gourd. This ox is led to the temple of Zeus to be sacrificed as an offering to us. Satan is wanting to get... You say, what is someone who preaches the gospel? I'll tell you what the preacher is. He's a slave to Christ. I'll tell you what the preacher is. If he's a rower in the boat, he's an under rower in the boat. He's down in the belly of the ship and some guy's beating this drum. Boom, boom, boom. And when you beat the drum, you just pull the oar. You pull the oar. That we are slaves to Christ. We are the under rowers. We are called shepherds of the flock. The poorest among, you see the shepherds portrayed in the nativity scene. We are shepherds among the flock. Worthless men, the low caste of society. We are not, you know, we are not executives. We are not professionals. We're slaves. We're working under the hand of Christ for the good of others and for the glory of God, giving everything of our life. And you are no different than I. We are all the children of the King. We all want to listen to what the Father would tell us to do. We are humble before the Lord. We are nothing while He is everything. And so there were these myths that spread after the miracle went forth. And don't be distracted by what others think. Sometimes I get, you know, messages from people that's encouraging. Sometimes I get messages from people that are discouraging. Sometimes I think, hey, you're doing okay. Sometimes I get this word, hey, you're not doing okay. Don't be distracted by what others think. Just walk with Christ and leave the rest with Him. I preach for an audience of one. Christ, who I stand before, and I will give an answer to, not to you, I will give an answer to Him. We must not be overinflated, just go for Christ. That was what Paul and Barnabas did. And so the miracle takes place, woohoo! The myth starts, oh my! Now I want us to get to the message in verse 14 through 20, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard, they saw the ox, they heard, they're going to offer sacrifices. Hold on here, Trigger. This is a mayday, mayday. This is a 911 situation. This is getting out of control. They had heard earlier in the book of Acts, you see Herod come up there in his flashing garments and the sun is blinding everybody. And Herod gets up and pretends to be God. What happens to Herod when he pretends to be God? He is struck dead on the spot. I think these guys are about to think that we're God. This is like problem number one that's going on here. We've got to stop this immediately. The quicker the better. Put out this fire. Mayday, mayday, mayday. Things are getting out of control. And so we are told when they heard in verse 14 that they this is how they put an end to it. They tore their clothing. They literally out of repentance, out of sorrow, out of terror, out of fear of committing blasphemy to arrest the attention of everyone, they just tear their clothing and run among the people and say, "We are no different than you are. We are men of like passions." There's not an ounce of difference. We are, if there's an ounce of difference, we are sinners saved by grace. You are sinners who need God's grace. And so they tear their clothing and tell the people that they are merely men. And they say in 15, "Why are you doing this, sirs? We are men of like passions with you. We are preaching to you that you should turn from these vanities to the living God. You should turn from your dead gods. You should turn from your idols. You should turn from a dead God and from idols over to the living God." And there's not many living gods. There's only one living God. They literally go back to Genesis because they are so biblically illiterate. And if you go into New Tribes Missions and you say, "Okay, how does this work? I want to be a member of New Tribes Missions. I want to be a missionary. I'm going to fly under your flag." They'll say the first thing you do is you go into this biblically illiterate people who have never heard the gospel. They know nothing about Jesus Christ. They know nothing about the Bible. They've never heard of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They don't know anything. You are starting from scratch. Go to the book of Genesis. And so that's what Paul and Barnabas do. They say, "Sirs, why are you doing this? We're no different than you. Turn from idols to the living God, which made heaven." They go to Genesis. "He made heaven. And he made earth. He made the sea. He made all things that are in. We are created by a God who is in heaven. I'm a creature. We worship the Creator." And he runs this Genesis account in his message. He says, "In times past, he suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. But he's been there, nevertheless," in 17. "He, the good that is among you that you see, that's from God. The rain that falls from the sky, it's from God. The four seasons that you enjoy every year, it's from God. The food that you have on your plate, it's from God. The gladness that you have in your heart, it's from God." He's trying to go back to Genesis and say, credit all God with creating us. Credit God with common graces, the rain falls on the just and the unjust, the fruit of the field, the sky, the sunsets, the seasons. It's all from God. This is the path to the cross. He is trying to get to the cross. He starts with the book of Genesis. He's going to make a jet tour into the birth, death, burial, resurrection, ascension of Christ. But he stopped. "There are some men who came from Iconium. Tried to kill him there. Followed him. And they said, we're going to put a spoke in the wheels." He thinks he's on a roll. He's starting with creation. He's going to the birth, life, death, burial, resurrection. Spoke. He sticks the stick in the spoke. And all of a sudden, everything comes to a halt. But the path to leading a biblically illiterate person to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ begins with, "Who made you? God made you. You are a created being. You need to come to, you are a sinner because of the fall in the garden, Genesis. There is a Savior. His name is Jesus. They're trying to get there. They're starting with Genesis. They're on the ramp. They're ready to fly. They're doing their best. Spoke! And they take up stones. And they stone Paul. They literally certify him as deceased. They leave him for dead outside of the city. It's an amazing story. This may be, I don't know that there's a direct connection, but this may be when Paul ascended into the heavens and he saw things that he can't talk about later to the Corinthians. He would write about, there was a moment in my life where I went and I saw things. I really can't discuss them with you, but it was glorious. But it could have been any number of things that Paul went through. He was whipped 3 times, 39 lashes. That's enough to kill a man. He was shipwrecked. He was snake bit. He was stoned and left for dead. Could have been any of those events. But at this moment, they stone Paul. And this is a message with a miracle. And all the bad guys leave. Good guys come in and they stand around Paul as he's laying there on the ground. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, paint me red, call me a barn, he stands up. And he stands on his feet. I mean, that's a miracle. Because not only did the people that stoned him thought he was dead, the people that loved him thought he was dead. Now, there is something going on here. And that something that is going on here is this. The devil does not want you, man, you, woman, you, youth, you, child. He does not want you to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul would rise up from this and he would move on to Derbe, to the next town. God was doing great things in this town, that he would leave it for the moment and move to the next town. But here is my question for you as I end my message. Have you heard of Jesus Christ? Amen. Do you know that Christ offered his life on a cross in your place? Yes. That he gave his life not for anything that he had done. He gave his life for things that we had done. And that if we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, eternal life was ours. Paul had a stick, you know, poked into the wheels and he couldn't finish it. I'm going to finish it. This is the good news of the gospel. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, you should bow your head today and put your faith in Christ on this December 1, year of our Lord, 2024. If you've never said, I don't think I've ever confessed Christ as my Savior before anyone. Satan wants to stop this message so bad, he'll kill a guy. Satan wants to stop this message so bad, he'll make the people pretend that that person is a god. Satan is doing everything in his power to stop this message. And I'm begging you to hear this message. Amen. That Jesus Christ offered his life for our sins. And if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you will go to heaven. No, there's one living God. You know, one what? Three who's? Father, Son, Spirit. Loved your song. We believe in the Father, who created all there is. We believe in the Son, you know, Savior sent to us. We believe in the Spirit, making believers one, indwelling our hearts. Plans of men can't stop it. We believe in one what? God. Three who's? Father, Son, Spirit. If you've never trusted Christ, after this miracle and after this myth, there was a message. And the message is, believe in Christ. Let's pray together. Father, Satan did not want these people to hear of Christ. But he rose and they went to Derby. Perhaps there is someone here this morning that Satan doesn't want to hear this message. Perhaps there is someone who is saying, I don't believe it. I don't trust you. What you're saying makes no sense. I'm praying, Lord, that by the power of your Spirit that you will deal with hearts this morning as we sing our closing song. There was a time when I was a young man when you opened my heart. I pray that you would open hearts to Christ's saving power today. There may be those who says, oh no, it's December 1. I hate December. It's terrible in my house. Drama, drama, drama. Lord, there may be those who need prayer. They're going through a diagnosis this last week that they didn't expect. The doctor gave them the long face, and they're saying, get your house in order. They need prayer today. There may be those who need prayer for healing, prayer for encouragement, prayer for hope. If there's those that need salvation, may they come. If there's those that need prayer, may they come. There may be those who need a church home, a place to say, I need to worship. I'm walking outside the church. Something's going on. I need to be within the body of Christ, within a local community. And may they come home to Friendly. So whether it's salvation, whether it's a need for prayer, whether it's a need for a church home, Lord, you speak to our hearts today. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.